When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com, N-O-R-W-A-L-K, marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And by the way, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Give us a like while you're there. We appreciate that. And that'll make sure that all of the fabulous animal stuff I post during the week will come up on your timeline. And I swear we have the best collection of animal photographs and videos and stories and all that sort of stuff. And if there's any animals in the news that I need to report, I'm always putting it up on Facebook these days. So be sure and check that out. I try to remember every week to tell you my favorite Facebook posts, and I think there's a couple of them that I really enjoyed. One, and both of them are recent, so you'll find them if you go to Martha Norwalk's Animal World, but there's a wonderful video of stingrays. I want to say breaching like whales do, but they jump out of the water, and it's like belly flopping stingrays. It's fascinating to see this behavior. A lot of them doing that, and then I literally was laughing out loud. It's so funny. It's a winter video, and it's a pit bull mix type dog with suited up with a big harness and a long rope attached to him that's attached to one of those round discs, you know, you scoot on the snow with, and there's a kid on the disc, and someone, of course, is taking the video and is standing out in front, so I assume somebody's calling the dog to drag this, you know, kid, like water skiing, only on the snow. And it's really funny. It was because the dog starts, you know, running, and he's pulling the kid on this disc. And you probably have to see it to appreciate it. But then all of a sudden, the dog turns around and runs back to the kid on the disc, and he grabs the disc with his mouth and pulls it up and flips the kid off the disc and then takes off with the disc in his mouth, running like crazy to who's ever calling him. Anyway, it's really, really funny. So if you want to check that out, Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook, and check out the wonderful videos. And, of course, there's a lot more stories and videos there as well. All right, it is just a nice change this morning, a nice sunny day with some high clouds and all of that, but I imagine that might be changing as the weather report didn't look this good last night, but here to tell us all about that would, of course, be Animal World's production engineer, Mike Roberge, is here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Martha.
And how are you on this sunny, sunny Sunday morning?
I am well. It's just a gorgeous fall Sunday in our neck of the woods.
It is, but
and I love it.
I remember the weather last night. I saw rain on every day. So, I mean, is this sun like temporary?
Yeah. Well, it'll be raining by this evening. It'll be raining tomorrow.
Okay.
But then it should lighten up a little bit towards the end of next week.
All right.
But in fall days, you never know.
Yeah, yeah. I have
expect
to
everything.
That was one of the other Facebook posts I put up, was a video montage of dogs pouncing in big piles of leaves Very good, but that's about to happen at my place. I don't know about the rest of you, but leaves are falling, and I had enough wind last night to bring down a limb or two. So, but feeling blessed with a nice sunshine this morning, and that's probably a good omen because we've got a special show today. And before we get to that, let's. I am just pleased to say that back in the saddle again, and in her moodlit studio, would be Animal World's associate producer and lead call screener, Kathy Southwick, is here. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
And it's great to see your beautiful smiling face again and have you back in the studio with us.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back.
And for all of us that have been following the process, how, you know, your husband, Eric, was a traumatic brain injury, a couple months ago now.
It happened a month and 2 weeks ago, been out 2 weeks from
a month and a half.
Harborview.
So he's been out of Harborview for a couple of weeks. So he's home now,
yes.
And still needing constant monitoring because there's apparently a process that you go through in recovering
right.
from traumatic brain injury. But he's improving.
Yes, he is.
And
doing much better.
Wonderful.
Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll keep up the prayers
and thank you very much.
Of that for Eric. But it's so wonderful to know that he's back at home and
yes.
things are improving on a yes. regular basis.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, now, filling out the roundtable in the studio here, I am delighted to say, who has become one of our favorite guests already, would be Morley Venkatro is here from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. And Morley, you're actually the director of Ananda Hatha Yoga Teacher Training Program.
Yes.
Good morning and welcome back to Animal World.
Good morning. It's nice to be back.
Oh, I love hearing your voice. I'm so excited about today's show, but I just have to let you know that I'm getting a little used to the energy in here today. It's amazing when you've been doing something as long as I have, and you kind of have automatic pilot. Any little thing changes the energy. And we're in a radio studio, and because of that, the doors are always closed so that we don't. But I've told you a little bit over the months that we've been remodeling here, and apparently they're touching up the paint on the doors. So our studio door is propped open and has to stay open. And I'm kind of amazed at the difference it makes for me, because what I look at is completely different. I mean, what's straight in front of me, across the table and is the door. And the back of it is the same color as the walls, which is a gray color in here. But the front of it is kind of this bright neon chartreuse green. And so it's like, oh, every time I look over there, it's like, where am I? So if I'm a little disconnected from here, it might just be that the door's open. Anyway, it's not affecting you, Morley, because you have the same view you had the last time you were here, and that's sort of
exactly.
me, and then through the windows, and you get to see the nice sunshine and so forth. And I am just delighted that Morley is back joining us today. And you did a show with us, the first part of August, I think. Yeah, the first Sunday of August. And we did a show about Hatha Yoga, which is the physical body posturing form of yoga. And boy, I learned so much, and am now can say that I have more of a practical understanding, not a lot, but just a little, and we're going to talk about that. But I asked Morley to come and join us again because we found his presence here to be so magnetic, and I got such wonderful feedback from everybody. And it just felt right to have you come back and to go further into our discussions. And we'll get to the subject matter here very shortly. But I want to let you know that I don't have a lot of follow-up on animals in the news to cover. All any of the news items and so forth is up on the Animal World Facebook page, and we will get current events into the show sometime today. I'm just not exactly sure when that's going to happen. I usually do it towards the end of the second hour or sometime in the third hour of today's show, but we will do current events, and somewhere along the line we will throw in a missing link giveaway. So if you would like to win a version of the Missing Link supplement for one of your animal friends. Wonderful supplement, and you can be ready to call in when I tell you it's time for the giveaway. I'll give you the animal, the Missing Link word or phrase of the day. You pick up your phone and call Kathy. The only rules are you have to be 18 years or older, and you cannot have won a contest on this show or any of the other shows on this station, Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW, in the last 30 days. Then you're eligible. So I'll let you know when it's time to call in for Missing Link. And I just have to say, Morley, I missed you last night, but I went into the Ananda Meditation Temple in Bothell because it was the annual fall equinox celebration. And, of course, Haley and Zach Abbey from the Ananda Farms up on Camino directed and did the celebration. And, boy, it was really wonderful. I'm still kind of wondering what happened to summer and how fast that fall is here so fast. And actually, the equinox is this coming Thursday.
Yes.
So it was really wonderful to help steward out summer and welcome in fall. And it seems that fall has started pretty rapidly here in the last week or so with all the rain and the wind and so forth. But it was a beautiful celebration, and I'm sorry if y'all, you know, you weren't there to join us. But you need to know that Ananda does these equinox and solstice celebrations four times a year at the temple, and they're always free, and they're always wonderfully inspiring. And because Master Paramahansa Yogananda was very fond of food and eating, that's always a highlight at any event at Ananda. And the crew that did the food last night outdid themselves. It was really outstanding. Great meal afterwards. And we did that in the new yoga hall, which was really fun. Mm-hmm. So hopefully y'all will join us for the winter solstice. That'll be towards the end of December. Mm-hmm. But we'll let you know on the air when it's going to happen. You can join us for that. But it really, really was wonderful. And then, let's see. Before we go any further, I think we probably ought to officially start the show. Yeah, you might say, well, it's been 12 minutes. What have you been doing? Well, we don't officially start the show until we honor and invoke the presence of the saint that's been guiding my work with the animals for so many years. That, of course, would be Saint Francis. And after all, it is Sunday. So we do a couple of little Saint Francis prayers to start with, and then the Ananda Worldwide Peace Initiative. So before we dive into our subject of the day with Morley, let's go ahead and get started. Now, the first prayer is the shorter one for our animal friends. It is the prayer to Saint Francis for our animal friends. Here we go. Good Saint Francis, you loved all of God's creatures. To you, they were your brothers and sisters. Help us to follow your example of treating every living thing with kindness. Saint Francis, patron saint of animals, watch over our animal friends and keep our companions safe and healthy. All right, and for us humans, a little longer version, it's the Saint Francis of Assisi Peace Prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. All righty, we are official, and now the Ananda Worldwide Peace Initiative. If you're not familiar with this, we start the show every week. This has been going on for some time now, the directors of Ananda Worldwide tweaked Paramahansa Yogananda's Peace and Harmony Prayer. And because of everything going on at the planet and this time, decided to initiate this Peace and Harmony ritual. And I would say that hundreds, if not thousands, of people around the world these days now are doing this peace and harmony affirmation. And if you want to join all of us doing this on your own at home, it's recommended to do these affirmations up to 5 times a day. And there are 2 affirmations, one for the world, one for each individual personally. And the way you do it at home is the first affirmation you do for about a minute, which is 10 to 12 repetitions. I do 12. And then the second affirmation you do 3 times. Now, we do a radio version, and we just do each affirmation 3 times. So I will be saying them out loud, and if you want to join me, you're welcome to say them out loud with me. You can say them silently in your head if that's works better, or you can not participate at all. It's completely up to you. But I do know that we have a lot of Animal World listeners now that are participating on their own outside of the show doing the Peace and Harmony prayer, and it's a wonderful little affirmation to initiate any time. You need peace and harmony. So the first one is, Lord, fill this world with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. The second one is, Lord, fill me. So I am ready. So here we go. We do each one 3 times. Lord, fill this world with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Lord, fill this world with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Lord, fill this world with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Now for us, Lord, fill me with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Lord, fill me with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Lord, fill me with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. All righty, we are official. So, you know, I have to say, Morley, before we kind of officially turn it over to you and get started here. The last time you were here, the first Sunday of August, I had invited you in primarily because I heard you speak at the dedication of the new yoga, Ananda Yoga Hall, and I was just blown away. I mean, and having been a member of Ananda for a number of years, I've met you, of course, and when passing, but I had never done Hatha yoga, but your talk was so inspiring. It was like, oh, sign me up! I have to do this, and I wanted to share all the wonderful things that you had to say about yoga and all of that with everybody. And so, folks, if you missed that show with Morley, you can go to the Animal World website, which is marthanorwalk.com, www.marthanorwalk.com. There is a link to the audio archives on the bottom of the home page. Scroll down once you get to the audio archives to the August, the first Sunday of August show, and you can listen to that show about yoga. So at that point, I was still just feeling really pulled, like I wanted to start the Hatha yoga. And then, of course, coincidentally, it happened to be that just the first week in September, I think you were starting the very popular, I think it's the most popular class at Ananda, which is the Hatha Raja Yoga Intensive Series. It's a 13-week class. And it's in 2 parts. The first part is the Hatha physical posturing yoga. The second part of the class is the Raja yoga. Now, the first time, this is also the first step in Kriya preparation, which is what brought me to Ananda in the first place back in 2010, because I wanted to learn Kriya yoga. So there's a process you go through to be able to be initiated and learn Kriya. So I had done the Raja yoga before, but I didn't do the Hatha yoga. And feeling pulled, I signed up for this round of the Hatha intensive, and was delighted because Morley happens to be the instructor, along with Haley Abbey from the Ananda Farm. Of course, you all know, we all love Haley, and Zach have been in the studio and on the show more than once, and they're very popular. So I was really excited about all of that, but I really didn't know what to expect. So let's see, we've had two classes now. These classes are on Thursday night. By the way, this the class happens, I think, a couple times a year at both the Ananda Meditation Temple in Bothell and at East West Bookshop. So both of these classes are underway now. They go 13 weeks, but I understand they will be repeated again starting in January. Is that right?
The end of January.
The end of January, they start again. So if you guys get really inspired, well, that might be me, inspired with my experience here with the Hatha Yoga and the Raja class, you will be able to take it yourself starting the end of July in both locations, or end of January in both locations at East West Bookshop and at the Ananda Meditation Temple. So I have to say, Morley, the physical yoga, the class, it's different, I think, than I anticipated. Part of that is because all of my life I've been very athletic and very flexible, but I'm now older, and you know, my life and circumstances have changed a lot. Now, you know, my horse passed away a number of years ago, and that used to be all my exercise, was, you know, shoveling horse manure and shavings and hauling hay and all of that sort of stuff. And I was always very active, but haven't been so much in the last few years. Maybe one reason why I felt pulled to start doing the yoga. And I have to say, initially, I had to work kind of on my own self a bit, because you're very clear in the instructions that nothing should hurt, and you go very slowly at getting into being able to do the postures and so forth. And there are lots of little tricks, you know, blocks and stuff and things that you can use to make doing it easier and work into it slowly. But, you know, I'm just not that kind of person. I'm kind of like, you know, the doesn't matter if it hurts, just power on through it. And so I've had to work on myself a little bit, and realizing that what I say often about working with animals is slower is faster in the long run. So I've had a major learning experience in learning to slow down and not push my body too hard. And so that's being really good for me. I'm learning patience and going through the process. But I have to say, it's simpler in many ways than I thought it would be. It's harder in many ways than I thought it would be. But I had a really amazing experience this last Thursday. And because our class is at 6 in the evening. And so I'd had a really busy day on Thursday and had been out all over the place. And I stopped to grab some lunch, and I cheated because, you know, I do gluten-free. And ordinarily, if I don't do, you know, eat a lot of gluten for a while, you know, and I'm very clean, then I can eat some gluten and not be affected, because it really kind of knocks me out and makes me groggy. And I thought I'd be okay because I had been really clean with my diet for a while. And so I had some gluten, but it really affected me. And so by the time I had to leave for class, I was just wiped out. And I actually had trouble driving to the temple for class, staying awake. I was that, you know, wiped out from this gluten and that tired. Got there, and I thought, oh, how am I going to get through class and all that? So, you know, got there, I was actually just barely on time, and got in and got going. And the class goes from 6 to 7:15. And there's, you know, stretching and warm up and then all the stuff that we go through. I have to say, I felt so much different after the class. It was like a miracle. It was like I felt totally rejuvenated and full of energy. And we'd worked for an hour and 15 minutes, and then we did a lot of the yoga, but I felt fantastic. And I had no problem staying awake for the, you know, the hour or 2 hour class after that. And I had no problem staying awake all the way home. I had a lot to do, even though it was late at night. I had a lot to do that night when I got home. I had no problem getting through everything. It was like unbelievable. And is that typical of yoga? Does it always fill you with that much energy and make you feel so good?
It definitely is, at least in the following sense. yoga doesn't fix anything in the usual sense of the word, because yoga's approach to health is nothing's broken to begin with. The process of yoga is more about revealing the inner health, the inner perfection. It's almost like saying we are the perfection that we seek to begin with, and something's hiding it. It could be something, something physical, such as eating gluten when you're not supposed to.
Right.
It could be something emotional, such as anger or resentment or any one of those things. But regardless of the cause, yoga rarely asks what caused a problem. And in one sense, it's not that important, because the footprint of the problem, the what it leaves behind is always the same, which is blocked energy. And yoga just works with it. And it doesn't so much give us vitality as it unblocks it, that it's already there. And so you're filled with the right amount of energy that's natural for you.
Yeah, I'm so impressed. And even though I'm having to really learn and change myself in terms of and then learning all this new yoga, and I have to say, you know, I'm just a baby and I'm not all that good at it yet. But oh my gosh,
you are actually very good.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's kind of hard to watch anybody else, but the nice thing is with our class, I was pretty amazed also. We have quite a large class and quite a variety of different people. I mean, there are young people, there are older people. There are some of those thin, you know, younger people that can, do yoga, I'm sure, in their sleep. But then there's also a lot of middle-aged and older people, a lot of very overweight people. And it's a testament to the fact that truly anybody can do yoga, and how attentive you all are in terms of teaching and making sure that you get it right, but do it safely and gently. I'm just having such a great time. I'm just loving it. So thank you so much. Now, we'll take care of our advertisers here so we can get into our subject for today. I have invited Morley to do a little selfish on my part, I think, because Morley teaches some other classes besides Hatha Yoga at Ananda, and this particular subject is the sacred secrets of Hinduism and the lineage of yoga. And I'm just so magnetized by Morley's energy, and I love listening to you. And so many of the listeners said, I'd listen to him read the alphabet, because I haven't been able to attend this class. And I'm quite fascinated and really want to hear all about this. We'll get into more of that after we take care of our advertisers and sponsors, a little bit more about why I decided to do this show and what we're getting into. But this will be our subject for the rest of the 3 hours of Animal World. So I hope you're planning to stay with us, and we're going to have a wonderful experience. I just know it. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right after these messages, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? Bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668. Ever wonder what your pet is thinking, why they do certain things, or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, Animal Intuitive Medium and Reiki Master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages, including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at darcypariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, P-A-R-I-S-O.com. Or call 425-280-5132.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Seattle, Tacoma, Antwerp? That's right. We're streamed worldwide on our app and on the web at 1150kknw.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're actually just getting rolling on this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And today we are entertaining and educating the human animal. And in the studio again, I'm delighted to say, is the director of Ananda Teacher Training Program, instructor and yoga, hatha yoga instructor extraordinaire. I know because he's my teacher now. And Morley Venkatrol is here in the studio, and our subject today is kind of a tweaked radio version of a very popular class that Morley, that you teach at the Ananda Institute, and that is entitled The Sacred Secrets of Hinduism and the Lineage of Yoga. And I was thinking this week, you know, how to explain why I really wanted to do this particular subject and so forth. And I say, after all, it's Sunday, but this is probably the most spiritual we've gotten here on Animal World. But as many of you know, because I have talked about it often over the years, I came to Ananda, you know, after reading Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramhansa Yogananda, and that's how many people find Ananda. I wanted, as I said earlier, to learn Kriya Yoga, which is not physical yoga. It's part of the spiritual aspects of yoga. And in the course of taking the classes necessary for that, I of course found my spiritual home with Ananda, and have been ever so grateful since, and the gifts in my life as a result of that have been absolutely phenomenal. But I am very curious. I've always felt drawn to the Eastern spirituality or religions, and my understanding of how you know, the writing of Autobiography of a Yogi and Yogananda's story, he was actually sent to America by his guru, Swami Sri Yukteswar, in order, and Marlee can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that he was sent here in order to kind of share with us Westerners the similarities of Eastern and Western spirituality and religion.
Yeah, exactly.
And so because of that, I've always been very curious about Eastern religions and so forth and Hinduism and all that. And I have to say I've gotten more familiar with like the Sanskrit, like, you know, Sanskrit words and so forth. And I know the meaning of some, and because, you know, some of the chanting and you know, it just filtered in. But I don't know that much about it. And so when I've seen the promotions on this class that you teach, it's like, wow, I'm really fascinated by that. And then, of course, having been in your presence now for a while, your energy is so magnetic. And I think there's something about us Westerners. We all love accents of different kinds. And but there's something about the Indian, you know, Eastern Indian accent that is just so magnetizing. And for me, when I thought about it, it's almost, and being in class with you, especially because now in the Hatha Yoga class, because when you're in front of the class and you're often in, you know, lotus posture and you're leading us in something, the energy that comes through you is magnificent. And for me, it's very much, I feel like, almost like being in the presence of Master Yogananda. I'm going to tear up because of what I feel in your presence. So, and I know that it radiates out over the airwaves because I heard from so many that have, you know, enjoyed what you've done. So that's kind of my reason behind asking you to do this class. And because I know, and I've always done this, and you know, the 22 years plus that I've done this show is focus on things that fascinate me or that I'm interested in, and then I find that everyone else seems to be as well. So I'm delighted that you're here, and I would love you to get us started.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be back.
Oh. Our pleasure.
So, first of all, let me start with the name Hinduism.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit of a manufactured name.
Hmm.
The word Hindu actually refers to a region that's beyond the river Indus in northwestern India and Pakistan.
Oh, so Hindu is an area of...
That was its genesis.
Oh, okay.
From
a location, maybe.
It refers to the northern part of the Indian subcontinent.
Ah, okay.
And for people that were coming, Indian subcontinent, if you look it up on the map, it's kind of by itself, geographically speaking. Mm-hmm. It has the Indian Ocean on three sides.
That's right.
And in the north are the Himalaya mountain range, which are mostly impassable.
Let me stop you right there. Because I always wonder. I hear the Himalayas. That word is pronounced a lot of people say Himalayas, but Himalayas, is that Himalaya? Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes. It's Hima means snow. Alaya means a boat, so you say Himalaya, a boat of snow.
A boat of snow.
Yeah,
that's
what it means.
I didn't know that. Himalaya, a boat of snow. Oh, cool.
There's just a narrow entryway into the Indian subcontinent, and that's guarded or delineated by the Indus River. And the Sanskrit name of Indus is Sindhu.
Sindhu.
And that got morphed into Hindu to refer to the area of the Indian subcontinent. And when the British eventually took over India, it took them about 200 years, but they came in as traders and eventually assumed total control. They needed an administrative/political name to refer to the inner and outer practices of this region. And since the region was roughly known as Hind, and the people Hindu, they gave it the name Hinduism.
Oh, that's good to know. Amazing. Yeah.
And it's actually a very, among the great religious traditions of the world, Hinduism is one of the oldest, perhaps the oldest. We don't know for sure. But even conservative dating puts it to about 4,000 years old. Wow. And depending on whom you believe, it's perhaps vastly more ancient than that.
Right.
And this, it's one is it is ancient, but also it's relatively unchanged. But I'll be making these kinds of statements a lot, and here's the first one of them. It is the most ancient and the most recent religion, and it's been relatively unchanged and constantly changing.
And oh, well, that's too basic duality for you there, huh?
Yeah. So let me talk about both of those, why that is. It is the most ancient and the most recent religion because it's, well, it's ancient because it's been around forever. And it's recent because this set of practices, which are incredibly diverse, and you have to be within the Indian subcontinent to know how diverse it is, was lumped into one, lumped under one name, just so British could understand it or would have a convenient way of referring to it. So Hinduism itself is probably the most recent major religion. But the practices behind Hinduism, it's called Sanatana Dharma. That's how Hinduism refers to itself. If most of you might know what dharma is, it's
what,
a code
dharma?
Yeah.
That's like karma, but D instead,
yeah, it's
right?
Like karma with a D.
Yeah.
And it's actually related to karma in a more fundamental way too. It's a set of righteous actions or observances. That's what dharma is.
Dharma is a right, because I sometimes don't really understand. So, but dharma is a set of righteous actions.
Yes. It is the one of the best ways to think about it is when we are calm, when we are in a good place, we often know what the right thing is. Whether we are able to do it or not depends upon our karma, depends upon our desires and so many other things. But there is a sense that something's right. And the name given to those right things, the right choices and the actions that proceed from it is dharma.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. So dharma is right action.
It is. Yes. Roughly speaking. There are a few more nuances to it, but that about captures it. The second part of the name, Sanatana Dharma, or the first part of the name, Sanatana means ancient and continuous. Sanatana is the same root from which the word senator comes from.
Oh.
For example, senator is supposed to be this wise old person who is supposed to know many things. We certainly have the old part of it now. But
I was going to say, okay, who didn't read that book?
So the name that Hinduism gives itself, has always given itself, is Sanatana Dharma, and that's incredibly ancient. That's been around forever. And so that's why it's both the most ancient major religious tradition and the most recent one. The other part of Hinduism is, for something that's so ancient and has been around, it's, there are parts of it that are unchanged, that are virtually unchanged for however long it's been around. Let's just say
4,000 plus years.
And how unchanged are we talking about? So let me give you just one example. Mm-hmm. There are many, many more. Many of you know what mantras are. These are resonant incantations. They have a meaning, but they are meaningful also because of their resonance, because of what they do to the body at various levels. And I'll talk a little bit more about them later on. And there is a very ancient mantra that's even today chanted as a matter of course by, I'd say, just a rough guess, maybe 250 million people.
Oh.
It's been around. We certainly do it in my house, and many, many, many people do it. And the syllables, the meter, the pronunciation, when it's done, how many times it's done, has, as far as anyone can tell, is absolutely unchanged for 4,000 plus years. And that's the famous Gayatri mantra, for those of you that are interested in such things.
Yeah, what is it?
It's a prayer to the light of wisdom to illuminate our faculty of discrimination. And it's just said that, O great light of wisdom, reveal yourself within me and illuminate the faculty of wisdom. Unsaid in that, or the epilogue to that, is so that I may follow dharma.
So this is, I had never heard that definition of a mantra, a resonant incantation. So the one you're speaking of, is it one that we would recognize that we hear? You said, because you said it's very a common mantra.
It is very common in the in the Indian context. It's certainly not that recognizable.
Is it something that you could say for us now?
It's a little bit too long to be encapsulated that way.
Well, it's interesting because I and it intended to ask you again a little bit about your background, but I feel like we all know you so well because we already did this. But another reason why it's wonderful to have you here and sharing this class with us is because you grew up in India. And you seem to be going back and forth a lot, because we learned last time you're actually getting your PhD in yoga, but from India. So yes. You're back and forth a lot. Did you grow in your family? Because how long did you live in India before you moved to the States?
I lived in India for 22 years.
Okay, and were you raised? And is it right to say a Hindu family? I mean, was Hinduism what you were raised with?
Yes, I was raised in a, I should say, semi-Orthodox Hindu family.
Okay,
not super Orthodox, but we did. There was enough of it while growing up.
Yeah, so it's one. You know, it's different to, you know, like take a class from a scholar that has studied it, you know, and is explaining it, as opposed to someone who has lived it and understands it innately. So it's wonderful. So okay. I can go off on tangents here and there. But we'll come back to the resonant incantation mantras is where we were.
Yes. So let me take a couple of steps back and complete the circle to where I started. Hinduism is a very ancient tradition, and parts of it are completely unchanged. And the second aspect, which is sometimes missed when you look at it from afar, and sometimes missed even when you're in it, is that it's incredibly diverse. If you take the Judeo-Christian traditions, and you take Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, and say you just picked all of those and gave it a name and called it Jordanism, perhaps, then you can, within that tradition of this manufactured name Jordanism, there is incredible amount of diversity, and that should give you an idea of how Hinduism is, that it is very, very diverse. In it is freedom to approach God in virtually any way that one chooses to. There is freedom to approach it as a formless spirit and somewhat of an austere approach to God. Freedom to approach it primarily through intellect, to questioning. For example, Emerson's approach to God. Freedom to approach it through self-reliance and work. Thoreau's approach to God. Freedom to approach it through the faculty of feeling, like Walt Whitman. There is freedom for any of those approaches, but what underlies all of that diversity, that what makes it legitimate, if you will, to clump it all under the umbrella of a common name, is there is stress on direct experience. That yes, the scriptural authority is recognized just as in any institutionalized religion. And yes, there are temples and priests and people that purport to stand between you and God. There is all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily, more than almost any other major religious tradition, the emphasis is on direct experience.
Mm.
And it's that combination of antiquity and diversity that makes it a little bit hard to pigeonhole it and give it a name and claim that this is the church, this is the Bible, this is the God of Hinduism. There is an answer to any of those questions, but there are many answers to all of those questions. And I'll talk about that more soon.
Wonderful. So, would we say that Hinduism is like the religion of India?
In its various diversities? The various aspects of Hindu tradition is the primary religion of the Indian subcontinent.
I've just been reminded by Mike that we do have advertisers to take care of, and we need to do that before we finish out this hour. So let's break at this point for just a moment, take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Without them, of course, there is no us, and we can't do fantastic programming like this. So please listen, pay attention, support them, and thank them. Stay right where you are, because Animal World continues. More with Morley Venkatrol and the Sacred Secrets of Hinduism. Straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods to your animal friends, even if you home cook, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why the missing link was created. It is made from all human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources. They figured out a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in the missing link, a little cool water to stir it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a missing link formula for almost anything in an animal suit. There are three versions for dogs, one that focuses on skin and coat, one on hip and joint. There's a senior formula for dogs with the New Zealand green muscle. There is a cat formula. There's a wellness blend that's vegetarian. You can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There's a bird formula, a poultry formula for the city chickens and so forth, and a horse formula. So ask for Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to the company. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.missinglinkproducts.com.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
We're the black sheep of talk radio. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World already, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And, you know, Kathy, I'm thinking we're getting up towards the top of the hour, so why don't we go ahead and start Missing Link giveaway now, and then you won't have to miss too much of the... Nobody will have to miss anything because we'll do it over the top of the hour. So I'm going to give you phone numbers in just a moment, and it's your time to call in if you would like to have a bag of Missing Link sent to your door. You can choose whatever version you like, any version except the horse formula we give away on the air. And you just have to be 18 or older and can't have won a contest here in the last 30 days. The local number is 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the one. I'll give them to the phone numbers one more time. But let's do the Missing Link phrase of the day. How about sacred secrets of Hinduism? That's like easy, huh? So that's the Missing Link words of the day, 425-373-5527 or 1-888-298-5569. We just have a couple minutes here or so before we end this hour, but Kathy has posed an interesting question about Hindus and animals and the relationship and the belief. Are we going to be able to get into that a little bit today?
We'll try and get into it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Yes.
And just so let's give everybody a reason to stay tuned here. Where are we going next when
okay.
we continue?
Well, let me pose four questions for you to ponder.
Uh-huh.
Who founded Hinduism and when was it?
Okay.
What's the Bible of Hinduism?
Ooh,
and is
okay.
there the equivalent of a Vatican for Hinduism?
Okay.
So
who founded Hinduism?
And when?
And when? I have to say, I don't know. Except you just explained that it was when the British came to take over that's where the name came from.
Yeah.
So other than repeating back what you just said, I don't really have a clue with that.
Well done. It was a trick question, but... The other part of the answer is who founded the real thing.
Yeah, okay, so we'll come back to that. Then the Bible. I think I know the answer to that, but we'll see. And what was the other question?
What's the equivalent of the Vatican for the Hinduism?
Oh, is
the
there...
one the, headquarters.
The Vatican. Huh. Well, now something popped into my mind, but I have no idea if that's right or not. So, okay, here's your homework on the break, folks. Who founded Hinduism and when? Is there a Bible for Hinduism? And is there a Vatican equivalent? Well, we'll see if we're right on that, huh? Ooh, how fun. That's exciting. Maybe I'm not as well, we'll see. I'll hold that right. I was going to say, maybe I'm not as ignorant on this subject as I thought I was, but we'll have to see when we return. So stay right where you are. Morley Venkatrow from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga is my guest. He's doing a radio version for us of the Sacred Secrets of Hinduism and the Lineage of Yoga. We are going to continue that for the rest of the show today. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.